You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Los Angeles, this is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray, back in Southern California, not on an airplane today. So that's a change of events. feels really good to be home, and gosh, I have so much to catch you guys up on with the pandemic film and the pandemic project documentary. I'm going into like the 19th month of straight travel. I just did a little x-ray of my back to see what's going on. And of course, it's a hot mess. But shout out to the chiropractors over at Waddell Wellness and everybody else helping me out. So, you know, it's important to keep your skeletal system aligned. You guys might see my neck's a little crooked, but a lot of travel, you know, a lot of different things make that make that up. But, you know, you got to pause and take care of yourself. And so I'm trying to mix that all in. But today we have a full show. I think it's important to cover a lot of things today. First, I want to say we've got, you know, the Southern Belle Badass here. So she's coming on in a minute, but I want to give you guys, you know, the top of the show announcements. Today, we were supposed to be in downtown LA doing a homeless feed, my second annual. I pushed it to this Wednesday. My show's on every Sunday at 4. So sometimes that doesn't line up with a holiday or something I want to do. So I felt like, you know, this was a little too early to do the feed. I wanted to wait a few more days. I have a few more sponsors coming in. We have a lot of stuff coming. We're doing hygiene kits, bottled waters, and hot meals. So that's what we're doing. But if you guys, anybody out there has clothing or anything that they want to give, nothing too large or small. So we're pushing it to the day before Thanksgiving. I think that that's going to really warm some hearts and let people know that some people care about them, even if it's not just once a year. Every year I want to be better. Every year we want to do more. So that's the update. I'm pushing it to Wednesday. I'll take pictures and videos and post it on our Instagram, but we won't be live when we do it. So I just want to give you guys that update. But a shout out to all of our sponsors and people who contributed, La Casa del Camino, Michael Solberg Family Wines, Archery Jewelry, and many others. Thank you so much for contributing things and supporting me to support them and the show. So follow us on Instagram so you can see our updates and some of our stories on Wednesday when we go downtown and feed some of the homeless at the startup with Monique Leray, all the way out. I was trying to remember if I spelled it all the way out, and I did. At Monique Leray, L-O-R-E-S-T-I-N-S. So when is my personal page on Instagram? And all right, so that's one thing down. So the next thing is, guys, we are doing 3 private screenings of the American version, the Pandemic Project documentary. Okay, so it's been a long time coming. Last year we did the trailer, you know, the extended trailer premiere on Roku. Some people were able to view it, some people weren't. When we went to do the replay, when we were streaming it, someone on our team told someone to restart it and we could not get the replay recorded. So I was really, really pissed off about that. We called Roku, we could not recover it. So that's why we don't have a replay. I really worked hard to get that. So we live and we learn, and there's glitches that go along the way, but we have the full film that will be done. So the first premiere will be here in LA, in the LA area. I will be releasing the location here in the next week. We're working on getting that done now. So that'll be on December 27th, so 2 days after Christmas, 2 days after all your celebrations, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatnot. I think Kwanzaa starts on the 27th. So that'll be in LA. It'll be a private screening for about 25 to 40 people. So it's very intimate. You can't have your phones on. You know, you're going to be the first people on the planet to see it. The second screening will be in Las Vegas on December 29th. That announcement will come out next week as well, what location, and tickets will be sold. And a portion of the tickets, the money that we get from the tickets will go to a charity benefiting people who have suffered during the pandemic. So guys, drop in the comments and you know, nominate your favorite charity that's helping people through this pandemic, because we want to help them. So that's what we're going to do. And then the third private screen will be in New York City on New Year's Eve, but it'll be early enough in the day where you can still party and have fun. So we're doing all of these screenings at 5 p.m. because the sun is going down earlier. We still want to do our step and repeat and our photos. So Stay tuned for that announcement for those locations and tickets. But again, we're only letting about 25 to 40 people in each venue. So less than 100 people will be able to see this film this year. And then it goes straight to the film festivals and hopefully gets picked up where we get distributed around the world and people can see it. And as far as the international travel goes, the travel goes on. This last trip kicked my, you know what, guys, it was so much. You'll see it in the film. I can't give it away here, but I will say we're getting ready to finish. You know, I finished countries number 11 and 12 this year, so there's a lot of travel. We were aiming for 15. It looks like we're going to make our goal and maybe exceed it. So the next areas of the world will be Japan, will be Indonesia, will be Australia, and Morocco. So then we can say that we've hit every continent. So if you have a pandemic story in any of those areas or you want to nominate someone, we're looking for entrepreneurs, survivors, no politics. We want to just know how people are doing in this time. Email me. Email us, capaquariusmedia@gmail.com. That's capaquariusmedia@gmail.com. Without further ado and all these announcements, we have Christina, our Southern Belle badass. That was a lot of updates, Christina.
It was, but it was very informative, and I hope I get invited to one of the premieres of the pandemic documentary.
I can't see how you wouldn't be. You know, you're going to have to catch us on the East Coast, it seems like, unless you want to come to Vegas, which I've always been trying to get you to come out to. Because we would,
you know, it ain't hard. It's not hard to do. All you can... I love Vegas. Love a little Sin City.
All right, so why don't you introduce yourself? In case people have missed my show for the past year and a half and they don't know who you are, why don't you give them the rundown?
My name is Christina Biddle, and I am owner and operator of Premier Accounting. I have two locations. The first one is where it all began, and that was in Biscoe, North Carolina. And I've had my own firm since 2010. And then in the last 3 years, I have expanded out to Birmingham, Alabama. And here in the next couple of weeks, I will be partner at a CPA firm in Bessemer, Alabama. So,
what? Is this an exclusive? Are you telling it? Are you letting the cat out of the bag today?
I told you last time that I'd let y'all know when it happened.
Wow. Woo! Sound effects. We need some sound effects, Sam. Woohoo! Congratulations, Christina. This is huge. I've known about this in the background that you've been working towards this. What does this mean for your business and for your entrepreneurship? Why don't you share with everybody what this exactly means for you?
Well, it's not necessarily what it means for me, but it's what other people take away from what I'm doing. I think they need to learn that, yes, women, we may not be thought of as being, you know, productive and meaningful to some people. But I want everyone to see how women can do it. And that it can be done even with a family, working a full-time job. You can still start your own business and run it with all the things going on in the background. You can always have it.
There's no excuse to get it done. I see you, and I'm like, every time I text you, I feel bad. I'm like, oh God, she's probably running the world and running a business and changing a kid. I don't know. And here I am.
The world's running me. What are you talking about?
No, you're running it. You're running it.
But I'm able to offer my services in a broader area. Even though I've got one in Shelby County, Alabama, and I got one in Jefferson County, they're about 25 miles apart, but it has a whole different client base and they have a whole different set of tax needs. You know, it's the demographics, you know, with your pandemic project documentary, you're looking at people from all genres, from every demographic area and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm seeing when I expand and broaden my horizons. I'm seeing the different demographics, the needs, supply and demand. And it's, but I just want everyone to see that it can be done.
Yeah.
And women can do it. If a man can do it, a woman can perfect it.
I mean, and listen, aren't we kind of past that? I mean, maybe we're not because you're bringing it up. Mm-mm. But in my mind, I feel like we've got germs trying to kill us. Like, aren't we past all that guys and girls stuff? I mean, the proof is in the pudding with what we can do, right? Wasn't someone just a female president for like an hour recently?
Yeah. Yes, but unfortunately, you have people who still think they're superior. And that's where women come into. It's like the other day, like prime example. I was sitting at the conference table at my new business, and I was talking to my partner. And anyway, we had a little bit of conversation, and he handed me this tax return. He said, "Here, what's wrong with this?" Well, I looked at the front page, you know, and then I started flipping to the second page, and they're like, no, look at the front page and tell me. Hmm. Okay. I felt the need to make sure I was 100% correct before I got into that arena against a man.
Right.
You know, the superior. Anyway, that's a lot what women have to still do. Because if you're going up against them, you've got to show them that you own this. You own them.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, and God bless my industry production, but, you know, you hit those moments where you're feeling like you're being pushed or tested, and that's no fun. Sorry, guys. Hold on a second. Christina, why don't you talk while I cough, okay? plug your Instagram.
I will. Well, you know, I have a website. It's www.premierabc1.com. I'm on Facebook at premierabc1. And I'm on Instagram and Twitter as taxqueen1.
Fabulous.
So I have several different handles there. But basically what I wanted to go over with everyone today is, it's close to tax season. We are really getting ready to get ramped up. People are anticipating those W-2s because the first thing they're going to want to do is file their taxes, because the job market is just now beginning to pick up, but some people are still feeling the financial pressures of the economy. Mm-hmm. So people are starting to get antsy. And I just thought that I would go ahead and inform people of what they would need to go ahead and get and prepare for, because a lot of your tax preparers will not take half of your information. So if you walk in with a piece of paper and you're missing stuff, they will not keep it. They will hand it back to you and say, when you get it complete as a packet, then bring it to us. So this, I've noticed, okay, is a really helpful tool. So
let's do it.
First of all, you need to get a copy of your prior year tax return. So 2021 is coming up, so you'll need your 2020 taxes if you're going to see a new preparer. Generally, if you're going to see the same person that you see every year, they have a copy of your tax record. Mm-hmm. Another thing, too, make sure you have your Social Security card if you have it. If not, that's okay. A valid ID or driver's license, passport. We have to have some sort of identification now, and we have to make a copy of it. It's for identity verification purposes.
Hmm.
And you need to have your bank account information, not a debit card. As us tax preparers are preparing your taxes and saying, hey, listen, we can do this, 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 and this. But we have to have the routing number and account number. Well, people still come out with the debit card thinking, oh, this is like a paycheck. You know what I'm saying? So
wait, people bring their debit card to get their taxes done?
They want the money. Yeah. See, they don't realize that debit card is linked to a bank account. So they think that you – I'm just saying. I know.
I mean, wait, hold on a minute. So – the debit card that you hold in your wallet that you use at the bank to get money out and to deposit, they bring that to you and they think that that's how they get a refund?
That's how they think we can put money on.
Oh, wow. Where did that come from? I've never heard that before ever.
Well, what it is some people, because they have a bad credit history with banks, I wouldn't say really, a past running record with them, where they have bounced so many checks, they can't have bank accounts at several locations anymore, things like that. What we do as tax preparers, or some of us, excuse me, we offer banking services. I do, to where, let's say you come in and get your taxes done, and you're supposed to get a refund of $7,000 or $8,000. And you're like, okay, Christina, can I have this money taken out of my check? I mean, out of my refund. Absolutely. And then that way, when the IRS funds them, I get my fee, they get their fee. But what I've done is we link that with a checking account at a bank. So, because that would be like money laundering. We have to have a specific account, and as we do their taxes, we assign them that bank account and routing number.
Okay, got it. So, but it's like, I mean, I've known the IRS to put the money into the account straight away, but I've never heard of bringing your debit card. Because if they have a bad history with the bank, then they wouldn't have a debit card to the bank, right?
No, we're talking like Green Dot debit cards.
Got it. I thought you were talking about Wells Fargo. Okay, got it. Now I got it.
No, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Or they'll even come in, even if they come in with their bank card too, though, they don't realize we can't use that to put money on. We have to have the bank account routing number and account number.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay, got it. I'm back on track. I was a little confused.
It's okay. Yeah. It's all right. Yeah. This is why you pay me, right?
Come on,
to
baby.
Do taxes and stuff.
That's
you got
it.
Me, I got you.
That's good. I love it.
And you need to write down specific things that you've done through the year because you don't remember them. Keep a list on your refrigerator. Like, let's say you went and put $4,000 in a Roth IRA. Well, you may not remember that in 9 or 10 months. So put it on your list on the refrigerator. Okay, well, let's say you had a kid that went to college. You're going to remember that one, but you still need to write it on your list to bring to me or to your accountant because I may not know that your kid actually went to school. I mean, I knew they graduated high school, but I didn't know they were, you know what I'm saying? So
congratulations, by the way, Christina.
Thank you.
You're welcome. She had a kid that went to prom and Germany this year. So,
oh gosh, yes. Oh, and I got some news on that too, girl. Ooh. But things that you do. Let's say you give charities. Mm-hmm. You give, say, a massive amount. Write it down on your refrigerator, charity or church or whatever you give it to. And that way, it'll remind you. Okay, I need to get my vouchers that they gave me when I donated, teachers, mm-hmm. classroom expenses. You automatically get a $250 credit for the first $250 that you've spent, not a credit deduction, excuse me.
Oh, wow.
So if you have a husband and wife that are both, then that's a $500 deduction.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because they know that teachers spend a ton of their own money on these kids.
Shout out to teachers, by the way. My goodness, how have you guys been handling things?
I'm gonna tell you what. I used to teach college, but there's a reason why I never did high school, junior high, and elementary is because I knew I really couldn't handle it. And during the pandemic, that really reinforced me that I couldn't do it.
No, I'm just now you're making me think in the pandemic project, I don't know if we interviewed a teacher, but maybe in the next film we have one lined up, but maybe I've got to figure that out.
Maybe yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Teachers, keep your expenses. Another thing too is keep your hand sanitizer receipts, Clorox wipes, Lysol, all of your disinfectant cleaners and things that you use to keep your classroom clean. Save those receipts as well.
Okay.
Let's see here. I'm running through some that a lot of people forget. And I believe we said the college credit. That's very important.
Yeah.
Because people don't realize that all the supplies that they have to purchase for these kids to go to school, not just pencil and paper, you've got massive amounts of other things depending on your degree. It's deductible. If it is required for you to go to school and make the grades that you make, then it's deductible.
Nice.
Now, that's not like dorm furniture and things like that.
Okay. So the lava lamp and the futon, no? Okay.
No. Unless you have your own business and that is your home office.
Okay. See, guys, this is why you got to start up. Use, what do they say, 400 square feet of the place or two, however big your place is, 200 square feet of it. You can write off a certain percentage or whatnot if you work there.
And your home, what you can do is if you are self-employed and you have a home office, you take the entire square footage of your home and you divide that by the square footage of the room that you're using. And that gives you a percentage of the home that you're using. So let's say you're using 20%. Well, that means 20% of all your household bills can be deducted.
I love the sound of that.
Yes.
What if you store things all around the house? No, just kidding. Okay.
I have that happens. I have clients that keep merchandise and inventory in their homes. And those rooms are also written off as a business office.
Okay. Guys, I'm learning stuff here with the Southern Belle badass, Christina Vittle. Christina, give everybody your handle once again, where they can find you, what your availability is like coming up, if they should book you certain times of the week or day, like can they go online and book you? What's going on?
Yes, you can go online and book me at my website, www.premierabc1.com. I have a special section in there to where you pick out your forms that you need. Maybe you need a Schedule C or F, you know, things that help jog your memory. I've got some how-tos in there. And then I think it's Twitter. It's TaxQueen1 and Instagram. Yes, it's TaxQueen1.
Yeah.
Facebook, it's actually, I think Facebook is under Christina Chapontier Biddle.
Nice.
But I did that as a personal because Facebook started wanting to charge businesses and things like that. Well, I'd heard something about some fees for it, so I kind of shied away from it. I thought, well, I'll just keep this on mine.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a bill yet from Facebook, a.k.a. Meta. I hope I don't get one.
No, probably. I mean, I don't even know. Maybe in just certain area advertisings and things like that.
Right. Okay. Oh, well, yeah, you got to pay for like an ad, like if you want to pump up and promote an ad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. I wasn't going to go that route.
Okay. Those actually work, Christina. You know what I mean? If you put a budget of $5 a day, not that I'm shouting out Facebook, but yeah, they work.
Well, I looked at it, but the thing about it is you only get a certain amount of clicks on it. And people, if they accidentally click on it, that's using up a credit that somebody else could have.
Okay.
And it's a pay per click is what it is.
Okay.
And you can set the amount of people, the amount of clicks, but all the people that, you know, that accidentally, because, you know, when you Google something, the first couple are ads.
Yeah.
They're pay per clicks.
SEO. Yep. Got to get your search engine optimization up, everybody.
Yes. And we have to save as much money as we possibly can. So,
all right. We're talking to the Premier Accounting here. We're talking to Christina, the badass, Southern badass.
Another thing, too, I want to clarify this with people. This child tax credit, this advanced child tax credit that you all are getting right now, if you have not opted out, then what's going to happen is that you're getting 50% of what you should get at tax season. So if you've got a kid that is 6 and under, you're supposed to get $3,600.
Hmm.
Well, if you've got a kid that is 7 and up to 17, then you get $3,000. Well, let's say you've got a kid that's 15. what they're going to do is say, okay, that's $3,000. So we're going to go ahead and advance you your first $1,500. We're going to keep the other half to put it on your under the child tax credit. But what they're doing, excuse me, I'm sorry.
I passed it to you. I put a vitamin in my drink and it got dusty.
Oh my gosh.
Oh Lord. While Christina's choking on herself too, I'm going to give my handles, guys, if you haven't followed me, at Monique LeRae Stinson on Instagram, at The Startup with Monique LeRae, and at Happy Grace Media. All right. Are you back, Christina? You okay?
I got it. I think okay. I got our fur ball up. Mm-hmm. The child tax credit. So yeah. When you go have your taxes done and you have a kid and you've already gotten half of your credit, some people you may end up owing the government because you didn't have enough help out of your paycheck because they advanced you that credit. So it's still going to go towards your tax return. It's just they gave it to you early so that it would help with any bills, people still on unemployment, things like that. So they went ahead and decided.
I talked about that earlier this year. Sorry to cut you off. But I remember you mentioning get it, you know, while you can. Does it apply to frozen embryos? Can you get an advancement on your children if someone's got frozen embryos?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask.
And the reason why, I know, and the reason why I say that is this right here. There is case law and prior precedents where if a child is born and it takes one breath outside of utero, it is then considered alive. If that child were to die 2 minutes later, the parents can still claim that child on a tax return because it took one breath. Now,
wow.
If the child is stillborn, you get no credit.
Ooh, so we're going into what dark places here. Okay.
So all what right. you said to me a minute ago brought up some of that case law, which you see what I'm saying? That's why when you said, hey, can you know, you actually asked me a legitimate question and I gave you case law.
Yeah, you did. We already know where you're headed with this. Christina's got her head in the books, you guys. She's got more announcements coming soon, but we can't out the bag just yet.
Hey, I'm just here to help save money, all right?
I love it. You know what? There's a situation for everybody. So shout out to the families that have gone through something difficult like that that could use a little bit of help there.
Telling you what. Let's see here. Oh, yes. The college credit. I'm sorry. Here I am all over the place. I just have so much information to give people tonight.
It's good.
The tax credit, the American Opportunity Tax Credit, that is for someone in their first 4 years of a college education, and it is up to a $2,500 credit slash deduction. The first $1,000 is a deduction. You have the possibility of getting, I think, $1,500, or is it that's backwards? Either which way, you get either $1,500 as a credit or $1,000, and then the rest you get cash back on.
Nice.
I know it's a maximum of $1,500. But the thing about it is that's $2,500 that people didn't have to begin with.
Yes, that every coin helps these days for people.
Yes, it does, which is why I was really emphasizing a little while ago about what is and isn't deductible for college.
Right.
Because that would fall under the American Opportunity Tax Credit, how much you spend.
Right.
And anyway, that's a few little ideas there that we specifically need when you're, you know, wanting to get your taxes done. Now, right. We covered income. Of course, you have to have all of your income documents, W-2s, 1099s, 1099-Gs, you know, all of your income, 1099 miscellaneous, NECs. The government wants you to include all of your income. But a lot of people don't understand what taxable income is. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I've made a list of just small things that people would probably have that are considered taxable income.
Great.
Well, of course, the obvious, like your W-2s, salaries, your bonuses, your vacation pay, severance pay, and any commissions. Of course, all that is taxed federally. Mm-hmm. So that is taxable income. Waitresses, all of your tips are taxable income.
Nice.
Even the cash ones, they're all taxable income. You have self-employment income. That would be people who file a Schedule C or pay self-employment tax.
Hmm.
This is one that got a lot of people, which is why the new legislation that was signed made the first $10,200 of unemployment tax free, is because people didn't realize they were going to have to pay taxes on all that money they were getting.
Well, you warned them. I mean, we had you on almost every month during the whole thing. So
we did. And, you know,
you told them to put it in an IRA somewhere to collect some coin and interest.
Put it in stock market. Uh huh. And I've had two clients that did that. Two. Mm hmm. And they bought, you know, I even told people buy Apple, buy Tesla, buy, you know what I'm saying? Trying to help.
You can do it on your Cash App. When someone sends you money on Cash App, you can slide it right into that. It's so easy.
It is. And the thing about it is one of them bought a Apple stock. They bought one Apple stock and walked away with four now. Because they did the 4-to-1 stock split. Apple did. So they bought one stock, but that one, when Apple did the stock split, turned into four.
Oh, so, I love that.
Uh-huh. So they're making good.
That's awesome.
let's see here. A lot of people don't understand also that Social Security can be taxable.
Really?
Yes, it can.
So now we're talking about our demographic, maybe 60 and up, right? Or when did that kick in?
Let's see. You can retire at age 62, but 62 you have... Yeah, but you have restrictions. In other words, you can't make but a certain amount of money before it starts reducing your Social Security check. And it will reduce it $1 for every $2 you make over the maximum.
Okay.
But alimony. Here's another thing, too. Now, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act that was put into effect, not really sure, I think it was 2017,
mm-hmm.
It made alimony non-taxable to the person receiving it, and it also, but it was taxed to the person paying it. So in other words, what used to happen is if you paid alimony, you got to write it off on your taxes. If you received alimony, you paid taxes on that money. Well, now, if you were divorced before 2019 and you're paying alimony, you still get to write it off and the person receiving it has to include it as income. If your divorce is from 2019 until forever now, alimony, no taxes are paid on it, and you get no deduction for it. So it flip-flopped all the way around, and I know why, but it's
tell us why, but I was going to say a lot of people are getting divorced during this pandemic, and a lot of people are getting married, so there's a lot going on.
I think the main reason this was done, honestly, because this was through the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, and this was right around Stormy Daniels' time, when some people got caught with their drawers down and will end up paying alimony. You see what I'm saying?
Is this state by state, though? Because I feel like this is kind of like the alienation of affection law. Like, that's only in, like, the Carolinas sometime, right? Like, that ain't in California, because everybody would be sued, right? Like, it's not, I mean, like,
no,
everybody's alienating affection, right?
They are. But, no, this is across the entire United States. This is a federal IRS tax law.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes. Well, I know you deal with the top level here. Okay, so it's not state by state. Okay.
And don't people also your pensions, your retirements, your 401ks, that is considered taxable income. Gambling winnings. Here's a big one. Cancellation of debt. And for those of you who don't know what that is a 1099-C. And what that is let's say you owe $5,000 worth of credit card debt that you can't pay back. So you work it out with them and they charge it off. Well, you'll get a 1099-C and you have to include that as income because it was for things that you bought with money that you had not earned. Mm-hmm. And had not paid taxes on yet. So you see what I'm saying? So anything that you have a cancellation of debt on, unless you are insolvent, then you're going to have to pay taxes on it and include that as income. Now, another thing here that people don't realize, there are such things as compensatory and punitive damages. Compensatory damages are not taxable. That is non-taxable income. That is based on, let's say you're in a car accident and you have a broken leg. Okay, compensatory, it would be help to make you whole again like you were before the accident.
Compensation, everybody. Compensatory equals compensation.
Right. Okay. Punitive. That is everything up and beyond. That's like for suffering, for medical trips. Those are considered punitive damages, and those are taxable.
Great. Great.
Compensatory is not taxable. Punitive is taxable. So if ever you're caught in a situation, get as much labeled under compensatory as you can and not punitive.
Okay.
Capital gains. Capital gains are taxable. And don't be afraid of the terminology capital gains, because that actually used to mean you're going to pay a lot in taxes. Capital gain rates are far less than even our individual tax rate, the ordinary income tax rate. There are three tax brackets when it comes to
capital gains.
Yes, I was trying to think of what they are too. 10, 12, and 22%, and that's it.
10, 12, and 22%.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, wait a minute. 0, 10, and 12%, that's it. I was giving you the ordinary tax rates, but you see how it's 0, 10, and 12, that's capital gains, okay?
Right.
Income tax rate that you and I pay, 10, 12, 22, 24.
I feel like this is going down the road of Tesla paying taxes and Amazon and all that, but I want you guys to know they're maximizing on things that are in the law to take advantage of. And that's why people, the Elizabeth Warrens of the world, want to tax them a certain percentage to change those laws because they feel like they aren't paying their share, right? I mean, they're not doing anything that most millionaires wouldn't do. Not saying it's right or wrong, but it's legal.
Correct. It is legal. Let's see here. It's to me, I don't see how people can support things like that. And everybody says, oh, well, the government doesn't look at the little people. The government doesn't look at the little people. People don't realize how much politics does play into your economy and how it affects you as an entrepreneur. People need to start paying attention to that, and they need to be aware of anything that would affect them financially.
Yeah. I mean, and not to get you off track, you still have 20 minutes or 10 minutes here, but I want to point out that some things, a great example of that would be, you know, from some people's point of view, we have safe roads for you to transport your goods and services without being hijacked or, you know, terrorized. You know, there's electricity and climate control, and all those things are on backs of taxpayers. So when you are successful in that environment and your goods aren't stolen or taken by a militia, you should be paying into the system that keeps you going and supports your success. I don't think that that's far-fetched. I don't think, because, you know, hey, when I make $1 billion, I'm still going to pay my taxes. Yes, I want to maximize what I can do. And you see the Spanx executives giving out trips, and those monies are offsetting her taxes, right? And she's smart to do it. But I still would want to pay my share to, or more, to support the system that supported me. But maybe I'm crazy.
No, you're being a good citizen. You look at companies that are making all this money, and they're making it off the sweat of our brows, and we're paying taxes at sometimes double what they pay tax rates of. That's not the American way. The American way was never intended for it to be prejudicial towards certain people.
Right. I also
it's okay. I was going to get into rental and royalty income next.
Okay, before you do, and I'll give you the rest of the show.
Sure,
I just want to make clear to everyone. I also, on the flip side of that, I'm very hard-headed about, but I'm a hard-ass about don't count my coins either. Like, if I got up and I hustled for a brand and I made something happen, don't expect me to pay because I made more money. Of course, I will do it because I feel like that's the right thing and I'll be abiding by the law. But I also don't think that we should punish people because they're highly successful. So there's a double, I'm two-sided with it, you know, but I am for them paying their share. But I don't think that we should punish people because they're uber successful and we should hate them. You know, I don't know.
Well, And, you know, there are tax laws for that as well, that you just brought that up. It's under the highly compensated employees is what the executives are with their golden parachutes. And they are subject to special laws to ensure that they pay the amount of taxes that they're supposed to pay, which is equivalent to what we would have to pay. I do believe that they should pay their fair share, because if they're going to emit waste into the air, they need to contribute to cleaning it back up. If they're going to release chemicals into our water, then they need to pay to have it cleaned up.
Well, hey, it is Sunday and you're the Southern Belle badass, so I guess you're taking us to church.
I'm telling you, you have to have social responsibility, because we have to take care of each other, which is one of the reasons why I do what I do. I'm very passionate about saving people money and helping their families thrive and succeed. Mm-hmm. So, but let's say you've got some rental property.
Mm-hmm.
All that money is considered taxable. Okay. Make sure that you keep up with how much you make and exactly how much you spend, because whatever you spend is going to be deductible. Another thing too, let me throw this in to you entrepreneurs out there, business mileage. For those of you who haven't started, or let's say you started a business in 2021, so you've never filed your first year taxes, you're getting ready to, I encourage you to take your tax information to a professional. And when I say a professional, I mean someone has been doing it an extensive amount of time. Also, check on their credentials. You don't want to just hand your stuff to somebody who just graduated high school and took a 2-month crash course, you know.
I learned that lesson.
Yeah, you got to have somebody you trust. And I love what I do for people. And I love the fact that that they're pleased and it takes a burden off of them. But anyway, that's just one. There's some of the reasons why I do what I do. I just love to help people without gouging them. I feel like it is too. And I don't charge for it. You know, I'm one of those people that, you know, hey, I've had a really bad year. My husband left me. I'm just like, oh.
Well, listen, now here at the startup, we are about you getting what you're worth. Remember the acronym of MONEY that Yala Van Zandt teaches us, my own natural energy yield, MONEY, right? So.
Yeah. Well, now that we have gone over what is considered, how much time do I have left?
Well, you got about 4 minutes. Okay. I got to do the back end of the show's announcements. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to freewheel it from this point on. I feel like there's going to be a lot of confusion and problems this year with tax season. A lot of people did not get their refunds because they got sent letters saying that they needed to verify their identity. They could either do it online or they could call. A lot of people went online, tried to do it, messed it up, had to call in. Well, the IRS is going to be sending a lot of people PIN numbers. They're five digits. You cannot file your taxes electronically without that PIN number. That is to verify that, yes, you're the one who did this because you just used that code that the IRS sent you.
Got it.
If not, you have to mail your stuff in with proof of identity and everything else. What I'm trying to say is I'm trying to tell people, if you get a letter from the IRS, for God's sakes, open it. Open it.
Even if you don't want to write a check that day.
open it. People think that it could be a bill. I have the most people that will just throw it in the trash because they think it's a bill. And I'm just like, no, we have to have that to file your taxes. And if they lose it, throw it away or whatever else, we have to, it'll take about 6 weeks to get another PIN number for them. So there's 6 more weeks that you won't have your refund.
That's a good tip.
And I also wanted to help people feel better as well about being audited. According to statistics, in 2019, only 0.4% of all individuals were audited, and that's it. 0.4%.
Yeah.
And of that 0.4%, I forget how many of them, but it's the higher income earners that they're finding that the really stretched deductions are taking place, you know, like using a vehicle 100% of the time when you don't for business.
Well, you have a higher, you're going to stand out because you make more money and you're taking full advantage of the things that they're offering. So that makes sense that you would be a blinking, flashing red light. I mean,
and the majority of that 0.4% are your higher income workers. So higher income employees. I just want everybody to realize if you make a mistake trying to do it on your own, TurboTax, make sure you go to a professional then, because you could have just cost yourself an audit.
We're going to put a button in there. If people need to reach you, they need to get onto your website. You guys, book Christina in advance. Her slots are going like hotcakes. And a lot of us, some people, you know, just kind of put it all off, paperwork and adulting this last year, and they're trying to get it together. Real quick, Christina, where can people book you? Where can they find you if they have a question? And give us a range of what you charge.
I can be found at Christina Chapontier Biddle on Facebook. I can be found Twitter and Instagram, TaxQueen1. But, you know, sometimes I just want somebody to just call me, and I can be reached at 910-571-1092. Generally, my range is to do an individual tax return, ranges from $190 to $240, and that's pretty much it.
Quick question, 10 seconds to answer. If someone filed their taxes late, when do they get their stimulus? Because there's some Golden State stimuluses here in California that haven't come. What's been your experience with that?
Well, I'm not sure if you will get them now or this coming tax season. Legislation has not been finalized on that yet.
Got it.
Because there are so many people who didn't. Okay, I'm out of 10 seconds.
All right, you're lovely. And thank you. We're going to have Christina back on December 5th to give you some Christmas money tips and tax tips. Guys, shout out to Michael Solberg Family Wines, La Casa del Camino. If you're looking for an early Christmas gift or holiday, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate gift, go to michaelsolbergfamilywines.com and make that happen. And as usual, what will you start up today? See you guys.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.